Tricia and I are here today with Mark Nickel, President and Chief Investment Officer with Hilliard Lyons Trust, a Baird company. Mark, thanks for joining us and spending some time with us today. We've very quickly been thrown into a new world. What are your initial thoughts, and can you help us walk through some market and economic indicators that Trust Company relies on to help put things into perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. Tricia and Terry, it's really great to be with you. Initial thoughts is this has been an unprecedented period where things have happened so quickly that for really up until the last few weeks, we almost had no economic data to point to say, how is this COVID-19 pandemic going to impact our economy? We knew it would be bad. But it happened so quickly, and the shutdown of our economy happened almost overnight that it has been, we've in some ways feel like we're just working in the dark until some light can be shed on that. And we're starting to see some light being shed on that. In a more sort of more normal times, there are some data points like the Conference Board's Leading Economic Index, which looks at 10 different indicators across the U.S. economy, that is really instructive. But in this case, because it happened so quickly, that is not one that has been helpful at this time. Where we've really seen more value is really looking at what's going on in the bond markets. When we saw the 10-year Treasury go from, 170 to 50, when we've seen credit spreads, so the difference between like investment grade credit and treasury bonds, when we've seen that difference really go wider, spreads widen, those are some indicators that in this period has given us some sign of really the severity of the fear that was in the market. Longer term, we do tend to rely on valuations and sort of where are equity valuations and where are bond valuations. And those can give us a good sense of prospective returns going out 5 and 10 years. Valuations aren't so good about short-term returns. And then the last thing I would just say as far as things that help us work through where we are is really going back and understanding history. And we know that history doesn't repeat itself, but it does often rhyme. And there are other periods of market stress, of bear markets, that really knowing that can kind of help us with some context of, well, it happened like this in 07, 08, 09. What can we draw from that? It happened like this in the tech bubble. What can we draw from this? It happened like this in the Depression. What can we draw from that? So we have spent a lot of time reviewing our history and knowing other cycles and how it's played out.
Thank you. As you look forward, what do you see that is encouraging? And maybe on the flip side of that, what worries you a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So what is encouraging is that the reason that we put a halt to economic activity is to really prevent or slow the increase in COVID-19 cases. And so the phrase, can we bend the curve? Well, we have bent the curve in the US and in the globe. So something like April 10th, it looks like we actually hit peak number of cases in the US, and that has started to come down. Actually, it was about March 30th when we hit a peak globally, and we've seen the global number of cases come down. So that is encouraging. So that means that our economies can begin to reopen, and it'll be a slow reopening, but that is promising. That's encouraging. Also, what the Federal Reserve and the fiscal authorities, so Congress, the administration, the amount of stimulus that they are injecting into the economy is quite something. If you were to add up both monetary stimulus, so that's the Federal Reserve, and fiscal stimulus, so that's Congress, we've got over $4 trillion of stimulus that'll be hitting this year and next. That's almost 18% of our GDP. That will help. That and the time it took for them to enact that is actually quite astounding if you think about how dysfunctional Washington, D.C. can be. So that will help. That will absolutely help. So those are two encouraging signs that the curve is bending and that we have stimulus coming on board. On the flip side, what are some things that worry me? Well, one, and this goes back to my comments about knowing your history. Going back to the 20s, on average, bear markets have lasted 20 months. Our bear market has lasted like a month. And there are, if you go back and look at history, there are a couple of bear markets that were very short. Those were bear markets, though, that there was not a corresponding recession. This bear market will have a corresponding recession. And the question really is how long will the recession last? But if that's the case, and again, knowing our history, it would guide us to say, well, this one will probably last longer than what we hope. It won't necessarily be a V. It will likely last longer. I hope I'm wrong on this. But just knowing my history is something that has got me a bit worried. And then secondly, the stock market's driven by earnings. And earnings estimates are coming down. Right now, what the consensus estimate is for earnings to be about 19% below where they were in 2019. So they're lower. But again, knowing history, the average fall in earnings in the last two recessions has been more like 30%, and earnings in the Great Financial Crisis fell 40%. So I don't think that the market is necessarily priced in those earnings yet. So that gives me a little bit of pause. Could we see some more equity downside temporarily as we reprice this in? Again, I hope I'm wrong. But those are a couple of items that give me a bit of concern.
So, Mark, obviously no one knows what lies ahead for the stock market or for the economy, and you just talked about that. But once a vaccine is found for COVID-19, it seems likely that people will begin to get back to what will be the new normal, as you mentioned. And so under this new normal, are there certain sectors that you feel like would be more attractive?
Sure, Tricia, good question. So the first thing that comes to mind is really quality businesses are going to survive this economic downturn better. They're gonna be able to pick up market share during the downtime, and they're going to come out on the other side even better. So as we guide clients to when we are working with them initially, let's look to upgrade quality, and it's for these reasons and these seasons of cycles that we do that. So quality is going to be better, and that is true, I would say, in every bear market. Clearly, healthcare is going to be a solution to this problem. And I could see where healthcare and the importance of healthcare will increase over time. So that is a sector that makes a lot of sense to me on a macro basis. And healthcare has not necessarily been a darling in the last 10 years. And that is not a bad thing if you think about sort of a contrarian perspective. I would also expect once we get to some sort of new normal, we would hope that actually financials are going to be rewarded. It's my opinion, that financials are still paying for the sins of the 2005, 6, and 7 period and coming out of the Great Financial Crisis. And they are so much better run. This is not a repeat of 2007, 2008, 2009. And I would expect that financials will be rewarded. Actually, I think financials could be part of the solution here as well in regards to working with small businesses to work through loan issues, to work with individuals who need help. I could actually see financials being a solution to the problem. And then two other areas that aren't as much like equity sectors, but it's more style driven or asset allocation driven. We have been in maybe the longest period ever where growth stocks have outperformed value stocks. I was just looking earlier, and for the last 10 years, growth-oriented stocks have been outperforming value by 5% annualized over the last 10 years. That is a significant amount of outperformance. And so will value begin to get some a look by investors? I would guess that will happen. Also, the U.S. versus international story is the same. We are really, since 2009, the U.S. has been outperforming international and emerging markets by a tremendous amount in developed international. So think Europe and Japan. The U.S. has been outperforming those asset classes by 6% annualized over 10 years. And the U.S. has been outperforming emerging markets by 10% annualized over that time period. Why do I say this? Well, it's not just about outperformance. Valuations are such that it's much more attractive. Valuations can be found in either value versus growth or in international and emerging markets versus U.S. But probably most importantly, it tends to be during these bear markets when cycles change. I can go back to the tech bubble, and that's when a cycle changed from growth to value. Back in the great financial crisis, it went from value to growth. And so will we see another cycle change here? The same thing is true with international. So those would be the areas coming out of the crisis, whenever we get to new normal, that I'd really have my eye on.
So, and let's talk about dividends for just a minute, because as people near retirement or they are in retirement, dividends can be a pretty important component of their overall plan. So what are the trust company's thoughts on dividends going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've already seen for weaker companies, companies that are highly leveraged, companies that are have weak balance sheets, that they've already been cut. In that I'm sure that there will be more cuts to come. This has happened again so quickly that companies are scrambling, and it certainly seems like there's certain areas within the market where the amount of dividends that they're currently paying, they cannot cover with their cash flows and earnings. So there will be more to come. So it really comes back to my point earlier about quality and having companies that have sufficient dividend coverage ratios, better balance sheets, less debt. From our portfolio's perspective, as of now, none of our companies have had to cut their dividend. I would also repeat, as I said earlier, that this is not a redo of 2008 from the financials perspective. We think the banks are better capitalized. And so we don't think they have to cut dividends now. The one caveat, Tricia, would be if this is a very long-lasting recession, it could be a prudent move by management to preserve cash by reducing dividends. That is not the case now, and it really just depends on how long this lasts. But for the time being, we feel really good about our portfolios and the ability for those income payments, those dividend payments, to continue. And the last thing I would point out about dividends is don't chase yield. Whether it is in the bond market or whether it's in the equity market, if people are attracted to a yield, and let's say the 10-year treasury is at 1% and this equity is yielding 8 or 9 or 10%, there is a whole lot of risk in that business to be yielding 8, 9, 10% and yet the 10-year treasury is at 1. Don't chase yield. And it is for times like this when we don't chase yield, because suddenly dividends are being cut. Suddenly stocks for those companies that are cutting dividends are plummeting. And it's never a good thing to chase yield. So that's sort of my own little soapbox, but I do, I feel strongly about it.
You have such great insight, Mark. Thank you so much for spending time with us and the Hollander Group today. And thanks for your thoughtful comments. To everyone out there, please stay healthy. And as always, the Hollander Group is here to help if we can.
This recording does not provide recipients with information or advice that is sufficient on which to base an investment decision and does not take into account the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or need of any particular client and may not be suitable for all types of investors. Investors should consider the contents as a single factor in making an investment decision. All investments carry risk, including loss of principal. Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated.